Nearly 70 million Americans, men, women, the old and the young, share a common enemy, arthritis. Make a difference in the fight against arthritis. Team up with Colony Drug, the Arthritis Foundation, and Southern Communications for Beckley's second Arthritis Walk, Thursday, May 19th, on the McManus Rail Trail at New River Park. Have fun and help fight the nation's leading cause of disability, arthritis. Form a team with your friends and family. For details, call Colony Drug and Wellness Center at 252-5305 and join us May 19th for a walk in the park.
We were there in times of war.
Today marks the anniversary of the end of the Korean War.
We were there in times of peace.
Wildfires in California are now under control.
For more than 50 years, the Air Force Reserve has been defending freedom around the world and protecting people and property here at home.
And in the war on terror, soldiers were here.
We are the Air Force Reserve. Call 800-257-1212 or visit afreserve.com. Air Force Reserve, above and beyond.
WWNR Beckley. The opinions expressed during this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of News Talk 620 WWNR.
Tonight, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the 20,000 members of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, they're working for you. Now, Bob Kincaid.
It's almost 7 minutes after 7 o'clock, as is almost always the case. And it's Tuesday night. It's Head On for a drizzly uptown Beckley kind of Tuesday night. Now, we've been, we spent some time on Pope Rat last night. And, of course, the ongoing ethical dilemma, if you will, of the bug spray delay. And there's the ever-present threat of the killing of the filibuster. So there's all that, but I'd like to start with something a little bit different this evening, if you don't mind. Out of the New York Times yesterday, and, well, you know, it kind of goes to the whole support the troops bromide that's out there. I, of course, contend that you support the troops by not sending them into stupid little wars that will get them blown to bits for no apparent good reason. And among all the military groups, probably the most fierce and proud, and it's no reflection on any of the other branches, but, you know, the Marines. You know, George came out the other day and said, most Americans recognize that Marine is shorthand for can do. Problem is, over the course of the last couple of years, that Marine can do has been translated to can die because George sent them into a war for which they were ill-equipped. Well, I don't care, as long as nobody don't see no pictures of them coming home dead on the TV. You understand how it works? Sure you do. But a story by Michael Moss from Monday's New York Times. Marines from Iraq sound off about want of armor and men. On May 29, 2004, a station wagon of Iraqi insurgents had packed with C4 explosives. I wonder where they got the C4. From some of those weapons caches that were looted because George didn't was in a hurry to topple Saddam's statue in Baghdad. Yep, maybe. Station wagon packed with C4 blew up on a highway in Ramadi, killing four American Marines who died for lack of a few inches of steel. Now, way back in the American consciousness, in other words, December, America was made starkly aware of the fact that Bush and Rumsfeld and all their little chicken hawk cronies were trying to run a war on the cheap. And so there was a great flurry. We'll up armor everything yesterday. No, it still hadn't happened. Marines are still begging for up armored vehicles. But anyway, this goes back to May 29th, 2004, before all of that. The four Marines were returning to camp in an unarmored Humvee that their unit had rigged. Listen carefully, Americans. That their unit had rigged with scrap metal. But the makeshift shields rose only as high as their shoulders. Photographs of the Humvee show, and the shrapnel from the bomb shot over the top. Steel wasn't high enough, according to Staff Sergeant Jose S. Valerio, the motor transport chief. He and the unit's commanding officer said the men would have lived had their vehicle been properly armored. Most of the shrapnel wounds were to their heads. Among those killed, listen carefully, you Bush voters, you killers. Among those killed were Rafael Reynosa, a 28-year-old Lance Corporal from Santa Ana, California, whose wife was expecting twins. And Cody S. Calavan, a 19-year-old private first class from Lake Stevens, Washington. He had the Marine Corps motto, Semper Fidelis, tattooed across his back. Now they're coming. Now that they've come home, the leaders and the Marine infantrymen have chosen to break an institutional code of silence, according to this article, and let America know what's going on in the filthy, rotten, stinking, bloody sands of George Bush's Iraq mire. They say their story was punctuated not only by a lack of armor, but also by a shortage of men and planning that further hampered their efforts in battle, destroyed morale, and ruined the careers of some of their fiercest warriors. Now, you can go and read this story for yourself, but it's pitiful. It is pitiful. One Marine says, you know, as Marines, we're always taught that we do more with less. Sergeant James S. King said that. He's a platoon sergeant. He lost his left leg when he was blown out of the Humvee on May 29th, 2004. He says, we were always taught to do more with less and get the job done no matter what it takes. During one of the most deadly firefights that the unit faced, Company E's Marines from Camp Pendleton, they came up short on both vehicles and troops. Marines, stranded at their camp, tried in vain to hotwire a dump truck. A dump truck. To help rescue their falling mates. 10 men from the unit died that day. Because George W. Bush doesn't understand that supporting the troops means a hell of a lot more than just buying a yellow magnet made in China at a local convenience store and slapping it on the back of your SUV. What a punk. What a miserable punk. So all of that is sort of, well, it's prologue. It's prologue is what it is. Because a little something happened yesterday that you didn't probably notice or take notice of or hear about. Now, I recall on our ABC Top of the Hour news, something on the order of all 3 hours that I'm on the air, there was a story about Michael Jackson. I don't recall, and excuse me, sinus. Yeah, what am I going to do? John, you can correct me. I don't think we heard this story last night. A little something happened in the Supreme Court of the United States yesterday. You remember Gulf War One? The first Gulf War, Poppy Bush's Gulf War. Well, we had some pilots and soldiers taken prisoner in that war, and they were tortured in some of Saddam's torture rooms in that war. And back in 1996, a law was passed by Congress, the House dominated by Republicans, the Senate, too, for that matter, if I recall correctly, because they were busy keeping a bunch of Bill Clinton's judicial nominees from even getting so much as a committee hearing. Yeah, that one, that Republican Senate. A law was passed in 1996 that said Americans who were tortured by regimes that were state sponsors of terrorism, as Iraq was so designated, could sue in American courts and get access to the assets of that regime if they be found within the reach of the courts. So that 1996 anti-terrorism law was the basis of a lawsuit by 17 former Gulf War I prisoners of war. And they sued, I believe, in district court, U.S. District Court, and they won. And they were awarded a substantial monetary judgment to be taken from monies frozen in the United States that had belonged to Saddam Hussein's Iraqi government. Now, what were they subjected to? Well, they were beaten. The POWs say they were beaten. They say their Iraqi captors broke their bones. Several of the men nearly starved to death. They were held in frigid, filthy cells. Some of them were held at Abu Ghraib, and perhaps some of the very same cells that would later become George Bush's very own torture and rape rooms. With me so far? Is there a single solitary person that believes that these people did not deserve to be compensated within the sound of my voice? Well, maybe not within the sound of my voice, but in America, there is a group of people. There are, in fact, people who believe that these Americans tortured by the Saddam Hussein regime did not deserve compensation. You know who they are, don't you? Some of you soft skulls voted for him last November. These people who file these frivolous lawsuits, they've won life's lottery. Yeah, you know who opposed these POWs. George W. Support the Troops Bush sent his Justice Department an entire phalanx of chicken hawk lawyers to oppose these tortured prisoners of war. You see, Bush's lawyers argued that Iraq was no longer a state sponsor of terror and that the money was needed, instead of compensating men whose bones were deliberately broken and who were day in and day out tortured by the Iraqi regime. Well, that money didn't need to go to them anymore. Now it needs to go to rebuild Iraq. And it was $1.7 billion, I think, in frozen assets. Never mind the $8.8 billion that L. Paul Bremer lost in the sofa at the Coalition Provisional Authority, the dirtbag thief. $1.7 billion real dollars frozen in banks in the United States couldn't go to compensate tortured American veteran POWs from the first Iraq war. Just let that sink in, especially you good, godly, upstanding, God-fearing Bush voters. Look what you voted for. You voted for a man who sent his lawyers to oppose people that Saddam Hussein tortured, who are your fellow citizens. Shame on you. Shame on you. Eternal, unending shame on you.
But I support the troops.
No, you don't. Nope. No, you don't. How about those troops? The guy you voted for didn't support him. And you won't even have the guts to come clean and say that he's wrong in doing it. Nope, you only get mad at George if he doesn't do enough mean stuff to brown people. But this is okay.
Well, we need that money to rebuild Iraq.
No, we don't. $81 billion we just appropriated for Iraq and Afghanistan. That 1.7 measly billion could have easily been used to pay for these tortured veterans. But of course, like I said, George Bush sent entire phalanxes of chicken hawk lawyers to oppose these tortured veterans. And yesterday, oh, yesterday, with barely a word mentioned, the Supreme Court refused to hear the veterans' appeal the denial of their cause. Don't tell anybody. It's a big secret among the wingnuts. George Bush hates the troops. George Bush despises the troops. George Bush giggles when the troops get maimed and killed, just like he giggled about Carla Faye Tucker when he had her killed in Texas. You voted for him. You explain it. The rest of us are waiting. And waiting. And waiting. And waiting. Because you Bush voters will duck and cover. And silently inside your souls, you agree with him. It's okay those people were tortured, because if you're a Bush voter, it's all about the money, Snowball. You make me sick. I'm Bob Kincaid.
A career that took off like a rocket. I'm Chris Whitting with The Success Journal. John Hendricks grew up on science. He lived near a NASA lab that built rocket engines. He'd often wake to the roar of rockets. John's love of science stayed with him. Years later, he ended up in the education field, selling video programs about nature and science. John's timing with the tapes was perfect. Cable TV was starting to explode, and he soon realized that his programs could be popular. So, he launched an educational cable channel. In less than a year, it had millions of subscribers. I'm sure you know the network created by John Hendricks. The Discovery Channel, along with the History Channel and lots more. He's built an empire that's out of this world. With the Success Journal, I'm Chris Whitting.
Don't let the recent news about your arthritis medicine stop you from treating your arthritis pain. Talk to your doctor. No pain reliever has been proven safer than Tylenol when used as directed. That's one reason why arthritis experts recommend the medicine in Tylenol Arthritis Pain as a first choice. For all-day relief without a prescription, ask your doctor about Tylenol Arthritis Pain. Stop. Think. Tylenol.
Tylenol Arthritis Pain lasts up to 8 hours. Use only as directed.
Expect double the enjoyment. Expect twice the shopping. Expect half off. It's Kohl's 50% off sale this Friday and Saturday only from 8 a.m. to 11 p.m. You'll save 50% on all juniors, young men's, girls, and boys' graphic tees. And on all kids' Carter's and Health Tech playwear. Enjoy 50% savings on Mrs. Juniors and Girls Capris. All solid color bath towels and all frames. Plus save 50% on everything in our summer living patio shop. Don't miss Kohl's 50% off sale this Friday and Saturday only. Kohl's. Expect great things.
WWNR Beckley.
Radio for the real majority. Head on.
Welcome back. 25 minutes after 7 o'clock, and to the phones we go. The phone number is 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967, and we're praying they work consistently tonight. Jim's with us. Hey, Jim, you're head on.
6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967.
Got to turn the radio down. Hey, Jim.
Jim, you're head on. Hello.
Hello. Got to turn the radio down.
Hello?
Yeah.
I'm here.
There we go.
Ground control to Major Tom.
Yep.
How are you?
I'm okay.
Good. You know, I just was happy to look through a magazine I get, or a periodical, entitled The Nation.
Yes, I'm well familiar.
And are you familiar with the article about DeLay and Tom DeLay's control of NASA?
No, that I'm not familiar with.
Well, you know, since we're on the subject this week of federal agencies either being degraded or...
destroyed.
Or suborned or overwhelmed, here's a good one for you. Back in 2003, when Tom's delay district was redrawn. It was reconfigured to include the Johnson Space Center, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, basically, delay is the man that you have to come to in order to get funding for NASA or to insist that funding for NASA goes through at the Bush level. Now, of course, Gorgeous George wants us to go to the moon and then to Mars. And this is going to be at the expense of the Hubble telescope and research and things of that nature,
right,
which the scientific community thinks is much more important than having footprints on the surface of Mars, right?
Yeah, that's what I've read, yeah.
Huh?
That's what I've read.
Well, but anyway, delay, basically, in pushing through NASA's budget, and he would not, there was no compromise on this. In order to do this, it slashed $456 million from education, $225 million in veterans benefits, and $61 million in scientific research. And delay would not budge until that NASA appropriation, the way he wanted it, got through. Basically, the upshot, for the sake of brevity, my friend, is this. This is not about delay bringing money to his gerrymandered district, Bob.
No.
This is about getting a contract with NASA. It's national. And we're not talking about some chump change here.
No, no.
We're talking about a certain amount of discretionary budgetary authority that could be available to Tom DeLay that could literally make his influence worth billions.
Yeah, it's his little pouch of pork, isn't it?
Right. And, of course, that district before, which included the Johnson Space Center up to 2003, was a strongly Democratic element or district. And now, because of the stuff they've done down there, this man now has his fingers in NASA's pie. And here's another federal agency that's just being degraded in so many ways to suit his interests.
You know, and it's funny, looking back, Jim, and I guess there's a few years difference in our ages. If I think about it, probably the first government agency of which I was ever aware was NASA. Because my mother, my father would bring me to the television, you know, hey, son, watch this. And
right.
we'd see the Gemini launch and the early Apollo launches, and I was there in July in front of the TV when Neil Armstrong set foot on the moon. And that made, you know, that was something that instilled real patriotism in me. Not this jingoistic garbage that's practiced by the right, but the real stuff.
Well, of course, it is. I mean, you talk about the right stuff, and it's the right stuff to get these men where they went.
And so I guess I'm a little conflicted when it comes to the NASA budget. I'd like to see the NASA budget doubled.
Well, it can't be doubled because that's not going to happen.
Well, no, it's not.
It doesn't happen because we have too many problems here on this earth.
I said, I'm conflicted, Jim, because we have solved a lot of earth problems by reaching into space. And
NASA, I'll ask you one quick question,
sure,
friend.
I'll tell you what. Let me carry you over. Let's go to the break. All right.
No problem.
Stand by. I prattled on there at the top of the show and. Give folks a chance to get their thoughts out. And this is a discussion. I'm conflicted about NASA because, yeah, there are hungry people. Yes, there are homeless people. But I also tend to believe that we do ourselves and our society and our culture a service when we dare to, well, what's the old saying? A man's reach should exceed his grasp. Is that it? When we, you know, when we reach into space, what we grasp is usually good for planet Earth. But anyway, we'll take that up here in a couple of minutes. In the meantime, let's stop for our bottom of the hour break. A little news update from Carl Mack, followed by the Workers' Independent News Service. Always informative. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. We'll be right back.
channel.
Good evening. Here's the latest from News Talk 620. I'm Carl Mack reporting. West Virginia set to receive nearly $6 million in federal funding for fish and wildlife conservation and hunting and fishing education programs. The funding comes from taxes paid by recreational shooters, fishermen, and boaters. It's distributed to the states through the Federal Assistance in Sport Fish and Wildlife Restoration Programs. Testing for the 56th career class at the West Virginia State Police will start in June. As part of its recruiting efforts, the department will conduct career nights at detachments across the state from now till May 14th. Lieutenant Walter Stroop with the State Police Academy says they want to put the department in a different light and make the job attractive for more people. Governor Manchin says he's told everyone who would listen that he would be a hands-on governor, and he says his first 100 days in office prove exactly that. That 100th day is today, and Manchin says he's made good on his promise to voters that he would run the state like a business. Representatives of law enforcement agencies and other groups across the state in Charleston this week to develop strategies to combat a growing methamphetamine problem. About 300 people were expected to attend the three-day summit called West Virginia Together, Building Meth-Free Communities. And the president of a Parkersburg-based financial holding company will spend almost 3 years in prison for failing to pay more than $300,000 in payroll taxes to the federal government. Bernard H. Linney was sentenced today in U.S. District Court to 33 months prison, followed by 3 years of supervised service. Now the forecast for the rest of this evening: cloudy with showers, possible thunderstorms later tonight with a low near 40, and then for Wednesday, partly cloudy, a chance of morning showers, a little bit cooler tomorrow, Wednesday's temperatures in the mid-50s. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Doug Cunningham.
A new report released this morning from the Economic Policy Institute suggests that economic policy has created the Social Security shortfall, not changing demographics. Josh Bivens is a EPI economist and author of Social Security's Fixable Financing Issues.
Inequality, high wage earners seeing much bigger raises than everybody else, is leading to this erosion in the tax base of Social Security.
He says that the earnings cap on Social Security taxes only covers 85% of earnings. If the earnings cap is adjusted to 90% of economy-wide earnings, then $330 billion in additional assets would be in the Social Security Trust Fund today. Bivens says that an economic policy adjustment would do more to help save Social Security than a complete overhaul of the system. Bill Spriggs, senior fellow with EPI, agrees.
In the future, this will not be an issue of can we afford the program. It will be a political decision as to whether we afford the program.
In Wisconsin, a coalition of labor and progressive groups is calling on the state to charge Walmart for the health care costs taxpayers are paying for Walmart employees. Darcy Haber of Wisconsin Citizen Action says Wisconsin taxpayers are paying millions of dollars a year because Walmart won't pay for adequate health insurance coverage for its workers.
It's close to $2 million of taxpayer money here in Wisconsin, but it's also another $3 million of our federal tax dollars. It's about $5 million that taxpayers are paying every year to subsidize the health insurance of Walmart's workers.
Haber doesn't see this stance as anti-business.
We think this is a pro-business position because it's not fair for the good guys that are doing the right thing and being good corporate citizens offering health insurance to then have to turn around and compete with Walmart, who's passing along the cost of health insurance to the taxpayers.
The alleged anti-union activities of a former Walmart executive are indeed under investigation by a federal grand jury. Walmart told the Chicago Tribune that it is aware of the investigation into former Walmart vice chairman Tom Coughlin. When Walmart reportedly turned the case over to a U.S. attorney in Arkansas, the attorney would not comment when asked by Workers Independent News whether there was an investigation. Coughlin allegedly misused expense account money, and he has claimed the money was used for anti-union activities, including possible bribes to help identify pro-union Walmart workers.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. The growth rate of software developers in the Asia-Pacific region is expected to outpace North America by 2006. A report from the International Data Corporation cites large populations in China and India. Automation techniques in North America, offshoring, and increasing productivity all as reasons for the shift. the United States and Russia currently have the highest software developer populations.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
WWNR, Beckley.
A guy who's in no rush to be savage, Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 23 minutes and change before 8 o'clock. Talking a little bit about NASA and the budget and Tom DeLay's, of course, nefarious influence on NASA and the Johnson Space Flight Center. Jim is with us still, I hope. You still there, Jim?
I'm right here, sir.
Good deal. Now, you can understand how I would be conflicted with that. One of my first toys as a child was a space helmet modeled on that of Alan Shepard. And I reach for the stars, you know, and the medical breakthroughs that have come. You know, the digital clocks in our cars we have because we went to the moon.
That may
seem small, but most of the technology that go into our computer culture today developed in large part because we went to the moon. So, you know, I would like to have supported George Bush's space initiative, Jim, if for no other reason, then, you know, I believe there's a lot of good in it. Unfortunately, I think his space initiative was a little more than gobbledygooked up the window dressing because...
Bob.
Yeah, you can't talk about doing stuff like that when you're mired in debt.
Well, Bob, look, may I interject something?
Yeah, go right ahead.
George Bush is using the space program as a semaphore for his own political agenda. Okay?
Sure. Oh, I don't doubt you.
And as far as the contributions of the space program to our own private lives today, I mean, my house, your home, are filled with conveniences that are the result of the NASA space program.
Exactly.
Spinoffs from the space industry. There's no question about that. Fabrics, all types of things.
Gore-Tex.
Right. Whatever. However, I do not wish for our dreams to exceed our powers. I mean, I too am born of that generation who wanted to go where no man has gone before. I mean, I used to come home and watch Star Trek every afternoon. Okay?
Yep.
However, when I look at what's happening on this earth, and let's just take a look at an area that's in our own backyard. Let's take a look at Brazil. And we effectively dominate South America through the Monroe Doctrine, correct?
We think we do. That is eroding somewhat.
Well, basically, let's say, for the sake of argument,
that we do.
We have a lot of influence on what goes on there, okay?
Sure.
Either through that or either through military or industrial might.
Right.
Now, in this area of Brazil, known as the Amazon Basin, for example, you have in the Amazon River, in its tributaries, in its estuary, in its river body itself, one-fifth of all the world's fresh water.
Yes.
Do you realize that that rainforest that river cuts through produces one-fifth of the oxygen in the atmosphere?
Yes, I do realize that.
Now, do you realize how these rainforests are being attacked?
How many thousands of acres a day?
Well, we're talking about 400 acres a day.
Okay, 400.
And, you know, this is untenable. And we need to really go into inner space before we go into outer space. I mean, with our planet that is covered 7/8 by water, I think there is as much to find beneath the surface of the water as there is on the surface of Mars or on the moon.
Well, the problem, Jim, is that the people who want to find stuff beneath the surface of the Earth don't care what happens on top of it.
Well, I know that, but I'm just saying we need to address these issues before we carry our problems into outer space. Because I can tell you one thing right now. If I were a member of a superior culture from another planet, I would pull a Michael Rennie, and I would come right down and put my spaceship right down on the ellipse and say, look here, either you get your act straight or we're going to incinerate you.
There's a lot of truth in When the Day Stood, the Day the Earth Stood, dead.
I mean,
Day the Earth Stood Still.
That movie was far ahead of its time.
Yeah.
Because these people, these imaginary beings, so-called imaginary now, and I can hear them out there raising now and hissing at me now, I don't care. But, I mean, they had developed a system to eliminate war as a means of conflict. And, of course, they were not going to allow us to carry our problems into their world.
And I think it's time for us to show some respect for our planet and our, you know, rainforest, our rivers, and things like that, and get this cleaned up. And once having done that, then we can have something good and positive to take into outer space. That's my whole position there.
Well, I can understand that.
We can't fund both, Bob. There's no way.
Well,
if we fund NASA, as you said, double the budget, think of what that would do to what's left of our social program.
Well, you do realize how much NASA's budget is. It's less than 1% of the federal budget.
Then I'll tell you what. When they just gave it the extra 2% that it wanted, remember those figures I quoted?
Yeah.
It took a lot away from education, veterans' benefits, and scientific research.
Right. And see the problem there, Jim, as far as I'm concerned, is not what NASA's getting. The problem is where it's being taken from, and where and why a situation has been created wherein it has to come from there. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Well, you know who's directing the channeling of those monies.
Yeah, sure.
It's our friend Mr. DeLay and his others whom he has allowed to sit at the table.
Well, and a lot of this has to do with philosophy, Jim.
Okay.
Their philosophy is that if it has to do with keeping roofs over poor people's heads or feeding poor people or seeing that poor people can go to the doctor, you know, they got a one-word answer for that.
No.
It's screw them. You know?
No.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. So when I say it's a philosophical question, what I'm trying to assert is that we can walk and chew gum at the same time, as the saying goes. But what we have is a desperately misguided administration that thinks that it can balance the budget on the backs of the poor, and that the American people won't even so much as balk at the idea.
Well, I can't disagree with that statement, and I never have disagreed with that statement.
You know, look at the funding that went into NASA when Kennedy announced that we would go to the moon by the end of the decade.
Right.
We were fighting the Cold War. We were gearing up for Vietnam.
Look what that cost. Stop right there.
Mm-hmm.
Look what it cost when Johnson tried to do that for the Great Society and the war in Southeast Asia.
Right.
Look at what it did to this.
And
country.
I think look at how long
it took us to recover from that.
And I think that is the better model for looking at what Bush is trying to do with space.
People just don't pay attention to the lessons of the past.
No, they don't. But you cannot run a multi-trillion-dollar deficit, be throwing away $1 billion or $2 a day in a desert somewhere. What? Getting ready to deploy the Joint Strike Fighter. Hanging on to outdated pieces of military hardware.
We're talking about levels of redundancy that are ridiculous.
Yeah. Well,
needless repetition.
Yeah.
You know, all sorts of weapons that really they could take one and they could do the work of ten.
Yeah. But of course, you know, NASA is always going to get at least a little bit of respect because it's so thoroughly tied in with huge defense contractors.
Well, now you'll notice that Northrop and Grumman gave DeLay tremendous receptions during the Republican convention in, where was it, New York?
Yeah.
This past summer.
Exactly.
Oh, he got a tremendous kickback from them.
You know, but when you look at things like the Mars rover, the return on investment for that, just in terms of the technology used to build them, is huge. And secondly, NASA has gotten to where it's pretty lean and mean. I mean, it doesn't have an Apollo budget anymore by any stretch of the imagination.
But in order for Bush's program to go ahead in its present mode, it's going to have to, well.
Well, it can't. That's what I keep trying to say, Jim. It's a red herring.
Here is another federal agency that is being used this time instead of being degraded unnecessarily they are upgrading it to a point so they can use it as a semaphore for their own political agenda.
Oh, I think you're absolutely right.
And to me, that is not right. And when I look at the other assets of this world and the rainforests and the rivers and things like that, and when I look at the diseases and things that we need to focus upon, we simply cannot do it all.
No, we can't.
And our dreams will exceed our powers if we thought that we could. And
you know, all you have to do,
a very simple point there, sir.
All you have to do, Jim, is look at Medicaid. You know, the numbers that I went over last night.
I heard you.
One in nine Americans is on Medicaid. And the administrative costs of Medicaid are ridiculously low when compared to private insurance. And yet they want to kill Medicaid and give and hand the bleeding corpse to the insurance industry.
Right, right. Transfer of assets from, you know, from have-nots to have.
Yeah, Jim, there are times when I feel like if I sat around for 7 days solid with a straw in a succession of bottles of the B&B.
Or, good.
Yeah, or, well, you know, the Old Panther, for that matter. You know, some
old
sort
Panther
of
pee.
Yeah, yeah, some rot gut. If I sat and drank like that for seven solid days, I still would not be thinking like a Republican thinks.
No, I don't think I could either. As a matter of fact, I don't think I could either. No.
Although, no. God knows, it might be fun to try.
Well, I mean, maybe, you know, I think honestly and truly in their death they have a bottle of Rush.
Yeah. Or you know, I've often thought it was actually, made with wormwood. Come on, help me, Jim.
I mean, I don't know, but my mind is...
It's an honest set liqueur. It's made with wormwood. It's narcotic.
Oh,
it's illegal.
Wormwood, you mean, it's not even available in this country, is it?
Right, right.
Roosevelt used to put it in their cocktails.
Yeah.
Absinthe.
Absinthe. Yeah, that's what I think they're drinking.
Yeah, Roosevelt used to put it in people's cocktails, and they used to say, my God, the man makes the worst martini in town. And he was loading their martinis with absinthe before it became illegal.
Right. You know, I'm thinking the Republicans are drinking, like, some sort of bizarre cocktail made out of absinthe and maybe laudanum. I mean, you've got to get your thought processes really, really hopelessly screwed up before you get to the point where you can say, well, okay, Medicaid operates at maybe 0.6% administrative costs, but that's not good, and operating at 30% administrative costs is, so let's...
We're doing that because at least there is some type of recovery from that type of addiction.
Yeah, you can sober up from that.
But as far as these people and their belief systems are concerned, there isn't even a 12-step recovery for any of it that I can see. Can you?
Oh, I know what the 12-step program is going to be, but...
I mean, for them.
Yeah, no, for them. I know what it's going to be, and it's going to involve an intervention that none of us have any control over.
I mean, I would like to see someone detail for me a 12-step point of recovery plan for a former Republican.
No, look up the 12 steps of AA. I mean, it fits perfectly. But
I guess you're right. To write the things that you to right your wrongs.
Yeah.
To apologize to people that you have hurt.
To make what is it?
Restitution.
No. To make a diligent search of one's transgressions or something like that.
But yeah, exactly.
But it all starts out with admitting, you know, with where you sit down and you say, hello, my name's George W. and I'm a Republican. And I can't help it. Conservatism has a hold on me which I cannot control. And they won't do that. But they are addicts of the worst kind, Jim. They absolutely are.
Well, I can't disagree with you, Mr. Kincaid. I agree with what you're saying, really, wholeheartedly. You know I do.
Well, Jim, thanks so much. I appreciate the extended chat.
It's always a pleasure to talk to you, Bob. You know that.
All right. Take care.
God bless you.
You too. And Ed. Hey, Ed, your head on. Ed.
How you doing, Bob?
I'm getting along, I reckon. You?
Sound like you're having a pretty good conversation there, and I'm doing pretty good.
Good.
First of all, I want to apologize to you for the false alarm that I, you know, the call I gave you.
That's okay. I just kept monitoring the phone calls, and I figured it would develop from there.
Yeah. Well, it was a misinformed thing all the way around.
Mm-hmm.
But anything I hear going on like that, I know you're going to be interested in.
Absolutely.
So I'll give you a call.
Certainly.
But I want to talk a little bit about this new bill or policy that the Republicans are trying to make, and I've only seen it in the news one time, and that is that when a charge is made, like charges are made against delay,
yeah,
that they only have 10 days to start the procedure. There ain't no lingering process about it. If you ain't got charges pressed, and the thing of it is, these charges and so forth takes even an attorney quite a while to sort through. You might have 100 pages that
sure.
relates to it.
Yeah.
And you're not going to have 10 days. But the point that this thing is why they would want to cover up and deceive the people by doing a trick like this. If it was above board, then even the Republicans, the other ones that's around a clown like DeLay and Bush, would not support this kind of action.
Well,
I just wanted to find out if you'd heard anything.
Yeah, I'm familiar with it. The way they've got it, well, the way they've got it set up now, the rules they've got proposed. You know, the House Ethics Committee, Ed, is the only committee in the House of Representatives that is divided along an equal party line basis. There's 5 Republicans and there's 5 Democrats. So the rule that they're proposing says that you can't even launch an investigation without somebody crossing party lines. You got to have at least a 6-4 vote.
Mm-hmm.
At 5-5, nothing happens.
Well, they need to go ahead and put delay on there to break the tie, don't they? It's a wonder they haven't proposed that.
Well, give them a chance, Ed.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing these sleazes won't do.
Yeah, well, I heard a conversation today, which there were some good points made, and then, of course, you had the typical Republican approach. But they say, let's not keep going back and digging up stuff on people that are in office. And of course, one of them was a Republican that didn't want nothing dug up on people like DeLay and Bush and Newt Gingrich and Trent Lott and Hyde and the one that was sent back to Alabama. But the thing of it is, they want to go back every time, everything goes back to Clinton.
Oh, sure.
And they do, and here's the point. If they want to forget the past, then quit making it the present. They're doing the same thing today. They're going to do the same thing tomorrow, but they don't want to keep going back, they say. And then we got the blame that we don't blame, that the Democrats don't get pointed out for what they do. You know, if they get their head out of
yeah.
the early morning person and old Rush Limbaugh and Fox News, and if some of them could read, they'd know that we are making points on this. One of them is Shirley Love, and
we've hammered a good handful of Democrats on this show.
Yeah, you ain't kidding. And you know why?
Because it's the right thing to do.
They are really Republicans.
Well, or just Ed, because it's the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when it stinks, you call it what it is.
Yeah. Well, the thing of it is, they should accept Shirley Love and Dave Perry into the Republican Party. They should welcome the way they vote. Maybe they don't even know how they vote, or they'd you know, they'd give them a big hug.
Yeah.
But I'm for not going back. But don't keep bringing that bird when all he's done, and you got the windbag on there that comes on there, and that's all he knows is running his mouth on Bird. And the thing of it is, Bird is not going to be turned off by the people, because what has a Republican ever done that Byrd, they'd have to catch up with what he's done for individuals in this state?
What's a Republican ever done for any working person in this state? Damn thing.
I'm still hunting one.
Yeah.
You know, but they don't need to run their mouth on people like Byrd and Rahal when at least they're doing something for this state. What they want, I guess, is people in the corporation's pocket. You know, they want to put somebody in there like that.
Yeah, they're a bunch of chickens arguing for Colonel Sanders.
Yeah.
It's all they are, Ed.
Yeah, well, we need somebody like old Smokin' Russ over there, the senator from Raleigh County, and some more clowns like that so they can go down and vote for Smokin' in the in firecraft.
Well, don't forget about giving tax cuts to the insurance companies.
Now about that, he thought he had an inroad with old Russ, and since he's failed on that, he's starting to keep his mouth shut some on the smoking bit anyway. And if he wants to smoke, that's fine. I don't have any problem with that. But don't try to get it imposed on everybody else.
Well, that was just a silly. Well, the problem, Ed, is that our legislature is comprised mainly of silly wastes of time. From smoking bills to tongue splitting to video recording movies in theaters to
Hank Williams Highway.
Oh, my God.
Make sure we get our hound dogs back. And, I mean, it's really a great big issue, isn't it?
Well,
and then they turn around and vote against the people on these insurance bills and so forth. But they're in the pocket of timber, coal, gas, and all the rest of them. And that's what the people don't realize. And we're going to start following up on some of this and expose them for what they are.
I hope you do, Ed.
Well, I hope one of them in particular over here runs next time.
I hope you do that, and I hope people are listening because, you know, Reagan was the one who said the 11th commandment was, thou shalt not criticize a fellow member of your party.
Uh-huh.
Now, Republicans can live like that because Republicans are dirty and Republicans are corrupt. And if they, you know, if they caught a brother Republican committing murder, they wouldn't say a word about it.
No.
Look at delay in the Congress. Well, look at Slick Vic Sprouse down here walking out on pregnant wives. You know, and they acted like there was not, you know, no big deal. You know, no, never mind the fan. Never mind that this creep runs on family values. We're just going to give him a pass on that. So that is how Republicans operate. I'm not going to operate that way, Ed. I'm going to call wrong when I see wrong.
That's all we need is no matter what party it is, wrong is spelled wrong no matter who does it. And that's what I'm for is correcting and getting rid of the people. And then they start harping on, well, we need to rotate these people every so often. To get rid of, you know, if a man is doing good, you don't fire him.
Yeah, leave him alone.
You know, leave the man that's doing good in there and get rid of the scumbags, and we got plenty of them to work on.
Yeah, if we start on them, we won't have any time to go after the good ones.
But
Ed, we got a roll, Ed. We're at the top of the hour.
All right, and thank you for your time.
Oh, thank you, and you take care. Always good to hear from you, Ed. And you know what? Just remember, you can't spell wrong without W. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Seek the help of a financial planner. You have the right to advice that is competent, ethical, and based on your needs. For the booklet, Your Rights as a Financial Planning Client, call Certified Financial Planner Board of Standards toll-free at 888-CFP-MARK. That's 1-888-237-6275. Or visit cfp.net.
Proud of over 50 years of broadcasting history.
You can depend on us.
News Talk 620, WWNR, Beckley. It's 8 o'clock.
When you know all about your kid's school, you know all about your kid. Visit www.pta.org to find more than 100 simple ways to know more and do more. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
News Talk 620 WWNR, keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here's your forecast from the Weather Channel. Big upper-level trough sitting over the Great Lakes, and it's far-reaching, so our influence is, for the most part, showery. Perhaps a thunderstorm as well. Overnight low 43 with a bit of a south breeze. Cloudy with a few showers as we look at tomorrow with a Wednesday high of 53. The chance of rain, though, only 30%, and that'll sustain itself through Thursday with a few showers late in the day and a high of 58.
WWNR, Beckley.
It's your second hour in the liberal sandbox, and you're Head On with Bob Kincaid.
Head On.
on, head on. I'm Bob Kincaid. The phone number, of course, 252-6200. Outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. We're more than happy to pay the freight if you're outside the local dialing area. And we stream live for you every night, WWNRNewsTalk620.com on the Internet, or internets, as our fearless leader likes to say. You can also go through the station website to my website, headonradio.com, growing by leaps and bounds every day. The numbers are actually quite amazing. And you can join the message boards there, join in the debate, the discussion, the free-for-all, the West Virginia, good old-fashioned West Virginia bar fight without the guns and knives. You can get in on that, as I said, for free. And you can also send emails reliably to bob@headonradio.com. I say that just because this old TRS-80 that we've got sitting here sometimes doesn't do email any too well. But you know, there's all kinds of opportunities there for you. Take advantage of them and enjoy them. Picking up on the support the troops story. We know now from Marines on the ground that we know now that the Bush administration has not supported the troops with armor, with necessary supplies, with the men that they need. We know that the Bush administration has simply not supported the troops. It comes as no surprise to those of us who have paid close attention to George W. Bush. He's never cared much for the troops. When he had an opportunity to be one, he ran away. And as far as I can tell, it looks like these billions we're spending over there are mainly a life support system for you-know-who, Halliburton. And that's a shame, because some of the things that Jim mentioned are very true. We're in a budget crisis, and apparently anything that benefits ordinary Americans is not of interest to Bush and the Republicans. It's only the things that benefit the greed freaks, the people who worship the green stuff in their pockets, the people who are yet unconvinced that they're not hooking U-Hauls to hearses. So now we've got this from WINS AM 1010 in New York in association with the Associated Press. It turns out members of the U.S. Army National Guard who were when 9/11 happened, the Guard was called out. And the Guard was used to dig for bodies in the rubble. The Guard was used to secure the perimeter around the buildings. And you probably are aware of the lies that were told. What's her name? Christy Todd Whitman came out and said, breathe all of that dusty 9/11 Twin Towers rubble air you want to. It'll be good for you. Well, now we know that it was pure poison and there are people suffering and dying from having inhaled the stuff, who thought nothing of their own safety as they went as fast as they possibly could to go and try to bring relief to the suffering. So, again, Guard members were called out in the aftermath of September 11th. And, of course, they were paid for their service. And that does include digging for the survivors at Ground Zero, doing crowd control, patrolling the city. However, and this from the Support the Troops Bush administration, they won't get credit toward their military retirement for doing that. Yeah, let that one sink in for a minute. They will not get credit toward their military retirement for the service they gave our country on September 11th. You know why? Because it was deemed by the government to have been state service and not federal service. Now, you know, I guess it's because I'm one of these free-wheeling, free-spending liberals
that I think that those days of service in the aftermath of my God, what we've worn out the adjectives, haven't we? That horrendous attack, that horrific attack, that devastating attack, that attack that changed America forever. Because I'm a freewheeling, free-spending liberal, I believe that the guardsmen who were called out on those days, in those weeks should count toward their military retirement. Nah. Because, see, if that counted toward their military retirement, that would be budget money, and that would be budget money that can be better spent on Halliburton as far as the Bush administration is concerned. Right? Right. Now, in an attempt to close the barn door after the horses are already gone, members of New York's congressional delegation, Carolyn Maloney and Peter King, have introduced bills in Congress that would recognize guard service in counties that are declared national disaster areas as federal duty. Makes sense to me. What Carolyn Maloney said was clearly, all the National Guard who served during this unprecedented national emergency deserve equal status. This is wrong. We feel terrible about this. They deserve to be treated the same. Well, you see, what maybe Ms. Maloney doesn't understand is that it is terrible what's being done to these guardsmen. And it's a ripoff, and it's a fraud. But that is what the Bush administration specializes in, for God's sakes. You know, they've got millions of dollars for outsourcing, mess halls to Halliburton and its subsidiary, Kellogg, Byrne, and Luke. Billions it's got for that. But it doesn't have money to contribute toward a retirement for a guardsman at Ground Zero, breathing all the dust and dirt and filth of those two collapsed buildings. It doesn't have money for those soldiers. Just like it didn't have money for appropriate armor for Camp Pendleton's Company E of the Marine Corps. Just like it doesn't have money for Medicaid. Just like it doesn't have money. Oh, yeah, the list goes on and on and on of what they don't have the money for. Oh, but they've got billions for Halliburton, don't they? It wears you down after a while. It really does. So, you know, you're welcome, if you wish, to try to justify this conduct by the Bush administration. I mean, this is just flat-out ripping off soldiers. Now, we didn't even talk about it. We had the incident last week with the weird freak spitting tobacco juice on Jane Fonda. And then, like a real hero, turning and running away. Now, I read a little bit on the Internet here and there about it, and, oh, the little monkeys were hopping up and down. Boy, she sure deserved that. Yeehaw. I'd spit on her, too. So we can propagate the myth of the spat upon Vietnam veteran. And, of course, that's largely urban legend. We can propagate that myth. And the myth of the bedraggled soldier returning home. Unfortunately, in the Iraq situation, it's not a myth. They're returning home to inadequate VA benefits. They're returning home to a country that won't let them file bankruptcy over the debts that have mounted up during their service to their country. Those aren't myths. Those are their realities. But as long as George Bush can put on a commander-in-chief satin jacket, we all feel so much better, don't we? So I guess I do need an explanation of why we have to rip off guardsmen from 9/11. And yet we've got, 8.8 billion to throw away in the cushions of the sofa at the Coalition Provisional Authority. I'm just finding more and more and more things in this little world of ours that I can't square up. And that's another one of them. Listen, let's take a break. We'll come back and I got an email here to share with you. This is Head On. I'm Bob.
When they visit this year, make plans to visit the Southern West Virginia Convention and Visitors Bureau's Travel Expo at Crossroads Mall April 30th and May 1st to learn about all the great attractions and activities right here in our own backyard. Southern West Virginia. Got it in you? Call 252-2244 for more information.
As parents, we do everything we can to take care of our children. Seatbelts, sunscreen, bike helmets, the list goes on. And while you may not think of chicken pox as a serious threat, parents whose children have had this disease know just how bad it can be. And for children who are older when they get chicken pox, the risk increases for complications that affect the lungs, skin, and even the brain. So talk to your child's doctor about chicken pox. It's just one more thing we can do to take care of our children. Sponsored by the National Partnership for Immunization with support from Merck.
WWNR Beckley.
You can be right and be wrong, or be left and be right. Head On with Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 19 minutes after 8. Had an email that I had not gotten to from Scotty relating to some of our environmental conversations of days past. And he says, hey, Bob, I don't know how the discussion of coal polluting the rivers, the fish, and the people can always avoid involving the mighty CSX Railroad Corp. Have you noticed how the rails so often run parallel to and usually only yards away from the rivers? Ever stand by a moving, fully loaded train hauling coal on a windy day or even a calm day? I think it would be safe to bet that each railroad car would lose as much as 2 tons of slack coal directly into the river. Of course, they're supposed to spray the top of the coal with a chemical to keep it from blowing away, but either they, forget, to do that, or that chemical as well is blowing into the river, and the coal that doesn't initially land in the river finds its way with the next rain along with the creosote, arsenate, grease, rail rust, and spare railroad parts. You ever watched railroad crews replace the ties? They have a game they like to play with these with the tie-removing machinery and the railroad ties. It's called Throw the Ties in the River. Sick bastards. His words, not mine. I wonder what a soil sample from these river railroad areas would reveal. Why can't they cover these railroad cars? What else is CSX leaking into the rivers? Someone should get on them for all these dastardly deeds. Keep up the good work. Thanks for the great email, Scotty. And we do that. We are guilty of perhaps over-focus. We talk about people like Massey and we forget that they have accomplices. And, well, you can, and anywhere there's ever been coal mined, if you step into the shallows of a riverbed that the tracks run by, yeah, you'll, and they look like typical river stones. They've been worn smooth and round. And there's literally tons and tons of coal in West Virginia's rivers from the trains. But again, we're too busy staying alive. We're too busy making the decision between groceries and gasoline. Or too busy trying to figure out what time what TV program comes on. We have this penchant, that's penchant, I guess, I don't know, for medicating our children for attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. What do we use at speed? Ritalin. We Ritalin our kids because they get a little antsy in class. And yet, as a culture, we collectively suffer from the, I guess, adult onset version of ADD. Only we give it a prettier name. We call it consumerism. So we don't pay attention when the creosoted railroad ties go into the river. Scotty's absolutely right. Why don't we pay attention? So he's brought it up. Next time you're driving, you know, and I see it, you know, when you're going down 60, going through Gauley Bridge, you know, you can see CSX's tracks on either side of the either side of the river, hard by the river's edge. And I know exactly what he's talking about. Heck, my great grandfather laid some of those tracks. We don't pay attention. We're sound asleep. Sweet dreams, huh? And just jumping around a little bit, Vernon sent me this one. You know, our friend Judy is a past winner of the Goldman Award for environmental activism. And those awards have been given out for 2005, the Goldman Prize honorees. And there's only one winner from each continent of the earth. So that says a bunch about our own Judy Bonds. But a moment to honor the 2005 Goldman Prize winner for North America, Isidro Baldenero Lopez, 38 years old, from Chihuahua, Mexico. Baldenegro is a subsistence farmer. That means he eats what he grows. And a community leader of Mexico's indigenous Tarahumara people who live in Mexico's Sierra Madre Mountains. Back in 1987, he witnessed the assassination of his father, Julio Baldenegro. They are Native Americans as well. Julio Baldenegro was an Indian leader who opposed, look, some of the same problems we have, who opposed logging. Isidro Baldenegro Lopez has spent much of his life defending old-growth forests from unregulated logging in a region torn by violence, corruption, and drug trafficking. Gee, I wonder why there's drug trafficking in Chihuahua, Mexico. Maybe because of the prohibition we have up here that creates the market that makes it profitable. In the year 2002, Baldenegro organized nonviolent sit-ins and marches, and that forced the government to temporarily suspend logging in the area. Then the next year, he mobilized a massive human blockade, mostly comprised of women whose husbands had been murdered. And as a result of that action, a court order outlawed logging in the area. Then after that blockade, see, I mean, it's Mexico, it's the United States. You know, when it comes down to dirty, underhanded dealing, a lot things are largely the same. Shortly after the blockade in 2003, Baldenegro was suddenly arrested and jailed. 15 months later, they let him out. He has formed the Commission for Community Conscience, an environmental group. And his work has led to new logging bans throughout the Sierra Madre region. Here's what he says he's working for. See if you can identify with. I know, he's a Mexican, and therefore he's dirty and not quite as human as you white people are, you good Americans. But see if you can identify with what he says. And my apologies to the decent people. I'm not getting on you. But you know who else is listening. I'm mad at George Bush because he called those vigilantes. Oh, jeez. Now, here's what Baldenegro said he's working on. Quote, to seek a better future for the communities and the coming generations, to denounce the injustices committed against the indigenous people, and to protect the forest and natural resources of the Tarahumara Sierra. Yep, sounds like he and our own Judy could sit down and probably have a cup of coffee and commiserate a little bit. It's the same thing the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch are working on. Same thing the people at the Highlands Conservancy are working on. The same thing that the folks at OVEC are working on. To seek a better future for the communities and the coming generations, to denounce the injustices committed against the indigenous people, because, you see, I know what we did to the Native Americans, but us hillbillies, we're the indigenous people now. We're the endangered people now. We're the people that the coal kings would like to just have move the hell out of their mountains so they can deforest it, depopulate it, de-animal it, de-life it. Greedy SOBs. To seek a better future for the communities and the coming generations, to denounce the injustices committed against the indigenous people, and to protect the forest and natural resources of the Tarahumara Sierra. Take out Tarahumara Sierra and replace that with Appalachians. It doesn't change an iota. And they do there what they do here. People who get in their way die. So congratulations and best wishes to Isidro Baldinegro Lopez. 38 years old, and we hope he lives to be 108. And never stops fighting. Hey, why do you reckon they have to log the Sierra Madre? Huh? Now, that's Chihuahua State. Ain't that little short dog? That's funny. They got a state named after a dog. Why do you suppose? Is it for the burgeoning Mexican economy? I'm guessing it's for us. What, 4% of the world's population use 25% of the resources? Oh, there's a great day coming, and it's time for our bottom of the hour break. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
WWNR News. More low-income children in West Virginia are being covered by a program that provides free or low-cost health insurance. Enrollment for the Children's Health Insurance Program, or CHIP for short, was at a $24,000 low on March 31st. That's up from $23,432 in July. Job creation, lowering auto insurance rates, and coming up with a plan to refinance the state's debt. Those are some of the things the governor says he's accomplished during his first 100 days in office. Governor Manchin says he kept his promise to voters to run the state like a business, and he says he's done. He has done just that, rather. Among the things the governor will focus on during his next 100 days, special legislative session dealing with pay raises for state workers. Today is his 100th day in office, and again, Governor Manchin thinks his biggest achievement to date has been restoring the public's faith in West Virginia. Three West Virginia hospitals are listed among the top 100 in the country in performance improvement. Solucent, a company that complies a database on the healthcare industry, released the list yesterday. Making the list are WVU Hospitals Morgantown, Cabell Huntington Hospital, and also St. Luke's Hospital in Bluefield. West Virginia University plans to award honorary degrees to Governor Manchin, former WVU President Gene Buttig, and businesswoman and researcher Michelle McNeil. The three will receive degrees during commencement ceremonies on May 15th. The American Red Cross's Greater Allegheny's Blood Services Region says it has not received reports in recent years that blood donors were diagnosed with malaria. The statement is in response to a lawsuit filed against the Red Cross and West Virginia University Hospitals by Barber County resident James Miller. Miller alleges he received malaria-tainted blood during a transfusion at Ruby Memorial in 2003. That's the news. Here's the forecast for this evening. Showers and possible thunderstorms. Tonight, a slight chance of thunderstorms with a low near 40. Then tomorrow, partly cloudy. Morning showers, a little bit cooler tomorrow. Temperatures down to the mid-50s. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
These days, in the topsy-turvy world of Washington, advancing the progressive cause means not letting the Bushites retreat too far on our nation's basic values of fairness and justice. In other words, if we can stop their most extreme regression, we get to count that as progress. Call it Alice in Bushland. Even the fertile imagination of Lewis Carroll could not have conjured up the appalling absurdity of a Bush proposal for an EPA study perversely labeled CHEERS, the happy-faced acronym for the Children's Environmental Exposure Research Study. It involved the recruitment of families in Duval County, Florida, who had babies under a year old. The babies were to be tested for exposure to agricultural pesticides, which are widely used in the area. That sounds fine, except that instead of checking for the level of pesticide residues already accumulated in the tiny bodies of these babies, the researchers, get ready to be left whopper-jawed, were to douse the homes of participating families with pesticides. As a recruitment flyer put it, participation in the two-year study would require families to allow the spraying of pesticides inside your home routinely. This bit of research gone bonkers was financed in part by the American Chemical Council, a lobbying group that includes pesticide makers hoping to prove that their products don't harm people. The recruitment of babies to serve as their guinea pigs was done in a low-income neighborhood, and the lure was that each family completing the two-year spray-down was to get $970, a free camcorder, a bib, and a T-shirt. A T-shirt. This is Jim Hightower saying, luckily, families rebelled. The media got wind of it, and Democrats in Congress held up the confirmation of Bush's new head of the EPA until he finally canceled the study. Thus, Georgia's corporate-friendly government was prevented from spraying babies with pesticides. Such is progress in our nation's capital these days.
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac. The libraries need your help. Many are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I tell you what. Support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library, so make sure your library has a future. Just a little something from the Mac.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.ala.org.
WWNR Beckley.
Shine a liberal light in the conservative darkness. Bob Kincaid, head on.
Welcome back. 24 minutes before 9 o'clock. Tuesday night, head on. Phone numbers, of course, 252-6200. Outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. Jump right in if you've got something on your mind. Or email bob@headonradio.com. There, that's easy. To the phones, Kyle's with us. Hey, Kyle, you're head on.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Doing good, you?
You don't do a real good imitation of me.
When was I imitating you?
Well, I'm mad at George Bush for calling him, what was it? I don't remember what I said now.
Oh, there's all kinds. You can listen to, I heard a bunch of that on Savage. There's a lot of Republicans mad at George Bush because he's not being mean to the brown people. Or mean enough, I guess.
Okay. And I just, you know, Bob, you just keep up the hatred thing, and Bob, it doesn't work.
I don't care if it works for you or not, Kyle. Newsflash: I hate George Bush. I despise him. I wouldn't throw a warm bucket of spit on him if he was on fire. Okay. I mean, are we clear now?
Well, yeah. I mean, I've been clear on that for a long time with you, Bob.
I mean, he is a loathsome individual as far as
I mean, I would hate to be the person, the individual you are, that would actually, you know, and you bragged on the radio here a couple of weeks ago about teaching your son to hate Republicans.
No, not about teaching him to hate them.
Yeah, Bob.
No, I merely explained to him. I explained to him, Kyle, when we were at the Capitol, and he was asking me about Ephraim Morgan, that if Ephraim Morgan had had his way, he would not exist. Now, that's just a fact. That's just a fact. Ephraim Morgan, Republican governor of West Virginia, approved the bombing of West Virginia citizens with aircraft from the fledgling Army Air Corps. That's just a fact.
I can honestly say I've got three children, and none of them have never heard me say to them, because a person's a Democrat or Republican, and I'm proud of that, that I can honestly say I've never taught my children the fact that because he's a Republican, you must hate him.
That's not what I told him about Ephraim Morgan, Kyle. Did you not hear what I said?
I heard exactly what you said, Bob.
I explained to him that
they're all like that.
Yeah, and they are. They are. They're killers. They're bloodthirsty.
We are. Are we?
Are you? Are you a Republican?
Yes,
I am. Do you support this murder in Iraq? Yes, you do. It's not my fault, Kyle. Don't get mad at me. You're the one that's part of the problem.
I don't get mad. I'm not a mad man.
You're the one that's.
I may get angry.
You know, you're either part of the solution or part of the problem.
I may get angry, but I don't get mad.
Okay.
Don't call me a madman.
Okay. Well, don't get angry about me merely pointing out the way things are. If you don't like it, change. Don't be part of the problem. Be part of the solution.
You people don't understand it.
You people.
You Democrats don't understand it. You've taught this, you've preached this hatred for how many years now?
Oh, for God's sakes, Kyle, I'm preaching hatred. That's just charming. Now, unless I'm mistaken, I'm not the one that started a war that's resulted in the deaths of 100,000 women and children in Iraq, and I'm preaching hatred. Gotcha. I'm not the one who's got control of the Congress and is trying to cut Medicaid by $15 billion. But I'm preaching hatred. Gotcha.
You got me what, Bob? How'd you get me, Bob?
I understand you, Kyle.
Well, Bob, but let's look back 2000.
You know, I'm not the one who's supporting vigilantes down on the Mexican border, one of whom, sorry, you probably missed this one, Kyle, one of whom took a Mexican at gunpoint and held him at gunpoint while someone else took a picture of him saying, I went to the Mexican border and all I got was this, dirty wetback, I think it was. Holding up a T-shirt, saying
well,
that. Made the guy hold the T-shirt up. Those are your vigilantes, Kyle, not mine.
No, they're not my vigilantes. According to George Bush, they are vigilantes. You know, George Bush is taking on this attitude. Okay, they're vigilantes.
Right.
It's one thing I'll say for me as a Republican. I'm man enough to do it. I criticize him. I think he's wrong in what he said.
Right, because he's not crapping on the brown people enough to suit you.
Well, then give him credit for that, Bob.
What?
Give him credit for not crapping on the brown people.
I'm not the one criticizing him for it.
I am.
I mean, I think he's crapping on the brown people plenty. I remember the policy that he announced last year, where if a Mexican tried to complain about work conditions, he would immediately be sent back to Mexico under this guest worker program. I remember that very well. I think George is doing an excellent job of crapping on the brown people.
But you're not. See, Bob, you're missing the whole point. You and George Bush agree on this issue.
No, we don't.
Yeah, you do.
No, not at all.
Vigilantes.
No. No.
Yes, he does. He called them vigilantes, Bob. Did he not do it? Did George Bush not call those people vigilantes?
Are they vigilantes? Yes, they're vigilantes.
So he called them that. So you agree with him on that?
I suppose I do, Kyle.
Okay, so you and George Bush agree on something.
Well, you know, if you were listening earlier, Kyle, you might have heard me say that I agreed with him on the fundamental tenets of the expanded exploration of space.
What's wrong with that?
Well, apart from the fact that it's a very cynical ploy because we can't afford to do it because he's destroyed the federal budget,
Oh, but you agreed with him on it.
But I agree in principle that there's something good to be had in the exploration of space.
and the expansion thereof.
And your case, you know, your entire argument is so empty.
Okay, you say it, prove it.
Well, I just okay. Let's go back to the last election. We kicked your butt.
No, you didn't.
Oh yeah.
Prove it.
George Bush is reelected.
You didn't follow what happened in Ohio, did you?
Oh, here we go again.
Now, granted,
here we go.
Kyle, here in West Virginia, we did fail the IQ test because a bunch of people who ought to know better ran out and voted for that little miserable bloodthirsty monkey. But on a national basis, I don't know. Not so sure. Look at
all these people.
Gahanna, Ohio, Kyle. Where thousands of people voted for George Bush on electronic machines when there were only 600 registered voters.
You know, Bob...
Deal with it, Kyle.
You know, Bob, I really... You know, one of the sponsors of your program is a union.
Yeah. Actually, several unions.
And I wonder how those union members feel when you call the American Baptist... the Southern Baptist Convention, a cult. I wonder how much they like it that their union leadership has chosen to take their dollars that they pay in dues to sponsor your program.
Okay, so what you're confessing here, Kyle, is that you cannot deal with the issue as I presented it. So once again, you are trying to change the subject.
No, okay. I'm not trying to change the subject.
Yeah, you just did, Kyle. You just did.
The subject is, you know, you guys, you and Wayne and Jim can pick on Jeff and call Jeff names and make fun of Jeff and put Jeff down.
I've never called Jeff a name in my life.
Oh, Bob, give me a break.
I've picked his arguments apart, point by point by point, because, you see, I understand the rules of debate, and the rules of debate, part and parcel of which, are to take the point as presented and then pick it apart. Okay? And I'm sorry, I happen to be good at that. I'm schooled in it. I'm trained in it. I am an expert at it. Okay? So, yeah, I'll pick, I'm dealing with Republican politics, okay? So picking it apart isn't very difficult because they're not very smart.
Well, we're smart enough to kick your butt in the last election.
Well, you know, I could kick your butt if I had a couple of voting machine companies in my pocket.
Well, forget the presidential election. What about here in West Virginia?
You mean where the congressional delegation outnumbers, Democrats outnumber Republicans 4-1?
Well, let's talk about the Supreme Court race.
Okay.
Kicked your butt there, didn't we? Talk about the
I suppose
Secretary of State race.
I suppose if you want to talk in terms of Don Blankenship's dirty money spoiling an election, sure, I'll concede you that one. Brent Blankenship. What about the Secretary of State race?
Well, who won that?
The woman who had Don Blankenship's money.
Oh.
Yeah, he bought that one too, Kyle.
Oh, no.
Sorry to spoil it for you.
Don Blankenship.
Yeah, you don't remember "And for the Sake of the Kids," do you, Kyle?
Yeah, I remember that very well.
Yeah, you don't remember how, for instance, Brent Blankenship exploited the rape of a little boy to gain political office. You've forgotten about that already.
Let's go back.
You're fairly adept at changing the subject. Let me do it too. What I opened the show with, I don't know if you were listening or not at the time.
No, I was not. I was watching something.
Well, what I opened
it was
the show
NASCAR.
With...
NASCAR. God forgive me, it was NASCAR. I was watching NASCAR.
Well, never mind. I'm not going to say anything.
That shows my intelligence, doesn't it? Go ahead and insult the NASCAR fans in your audience.
I don't care about the NASCAR fans in my audience. I mean, I don't care about the Indy Racing League fans in my audience. I don't care about the Monaco Grand Prix fans in my audience. I don't that's not a demographic that I deal with, Kyle. But anyway, what I opened the show with
is tonight
came into the news last night. Your president sent his Justice Department to oppose a group of 17 former POWs from Gulf War I. Okay? Those POWs had sued and prevailed under a 1996 law. They had sued and prevailed for the torture and humiliation and misery and hell that they had tolerated when they had been subjected to when they were prisoners of war under Saddam's regime. They sued, and they won.
Okay.
George Bush's government appealed that because they said that those veterans didn't deserve that money.
Okay, Bob.
They argued it all the way to the Supreme Court, and yesterday the Supreme Court refused to hear the case.
Okay.
George Bush supported the troops, Kyle, by saying that tortured Iraq war veterans didn't deserve to be compensated from Iraqi money. Defend it, Kyle.
You know, Bob, I can't address that because I know nothing about it.
No, I just told you everything you need to know.
Well, no, no, you don't, Bob, because I don't trust you to, you know.
So in other words, you will not. Now you were complaining, if I understand correctly, that liberal Democrats won't criticize other Democrats when during the legislative session I absolutely wore out Democrat after Democrat after Democrat for the way they were behaving in Charleston.
And, Bob, I'll give you
now,
credit. Bob, I will give you credit. You've kind of worn out our current governor. I mean, you've been very critical of him.
And
I will give you that.
Okay, well, that's okay.
No,
well,
but, Bob, don't bring an issue up to me that I know nothing about. I don't know anything about this lawsuit. I have no idea about that.
Well, they had their
time. I'll check into
we're,
it.
We're talking about guys who had their bones broken by Saddam's regime, and when they were nearly starved to death, they were kept in Abu Ghraib and tortured. They came home. A law was passed that allowed them to sue Saddam's government for their damages. They did so. They prevailed. The government, George Bush's government, appealed it, saying those people didn't deserve that money.
Well, Bob, if you're right, I will give you that one. Okay,
you're not giving me anything. Look, it's all over the news. The newspapers. I want to hear you, Kyle. I want to hear you take George Bush to task for spitting on POWs.
I can't take him to task
because you won't, Kyle. Because you won't. Now I got another caller on the line. So thanks. Take care. I try and I try and I try. Little simple facts. POWs, tortured, broken bones, starved, frozen. Abu Ghraib. They sued, they won. George Bush's government comes in and says, don't let them people win the legal lottery. Now, you heard it. A die-hard George Bush supporter. And he can't even stand up for the troops. Let's go to Luke. Hey, Luke, you're head on.
How you doing, Bob?
Doing good. You?
Oh, doing just fine. I am a member of the Affiliated Construction Trades. I don't speak for the Affiliated Construction Trades. I'm just a rank-and-file member.
Sure.
But I think you're 100% head on, right on with the Southern Baptist being a cult.
Okay.
I truly am having a hard time respecting any organized religion right now.
I know what you mean, Luke. I can't figure out what they want out of us.
I just wonder when the last time they read the book of Matthew was.
Oh, long time ago, if ever.
I mean, Jesus Christ speaks more about taking care of the widows, the orphans, and the cripples than all these so-called sins we're fooling with.
Yeah, and I've read Matthew several times myself, Luke, and I can't find that verse about suffer the little corporations to come unto me.
No, no. But I am a proud member of the Affiliate Construction Trades, and you got my back in 100%.
I appreciate it, Luke. Thanks a lot.
And we need to get you on 580 down in Charleston because I can only listen to you on the computer.
Well, we're working on it every day, Luke.
Okay.
All right.
And if you ain't doing anything on a Saturday night, I got my own show on a little station called Clay FM.
Do you really?
You have to go on the computer to get it.
Uh-huh.
Go to clayfm.com, and it's on from 8:30 to 9:30.
Well, that's excellent. What kind of show is it, Luke?
I play music and read a lot off Democrat Underground Democratic Underground.
Oh, hey, that's great. I'll what time again?
8:30 to 9:30.
8:30 to 9:30 on Saturday night.
Yes, sir.
I'm gonna camp out on it this Saturday, Luke.
Well, we might not be there. We've had death in the family, but we'll definitely be there next Saturday.
My condolences. Well, I'll write it down and I'll keep it out there and I'll catch you.
I saw your picture in the Charleston Gazette a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, wasn't that something?
I hung it out in the garden. Crows brought back food they stole 10 years ago.
Oh, you're a hard man, Luke.
Well,
oh,
have
man.
A good one and good night.
All right, thanks a lot. Oh, didn't see that one. That's a dandy. Brought back food they stole 10 years ago. Oh, goodness me. You know, Luke, I was glad to hear from him. Because, you know, see, that's a typical right-wing tactic, what got pulled a few minutes ago. You know, you pin somebody two or three times, and they keep wiggling away trying to raise another issue and another issue and another issue. You know, as if somehow it's my fault for criticizing the Southern Baptist Convention for behaving like a cult. As if it's somehow my fault for pointing out that the Southern Baptist Convention runs around preaching hate and attacking the very form of our Republican democracy. I wasn't the one standing in Louisville Sunday night declaring that it was wrong for judges to interpret the Constitution. Now, somebody who's got access, tell me real quick, when was Marbury versus Madison decided by Chief Justice John Marshall? Because in large part, that is the case that says we are the Supreme Court, and by virtue of being the Supreme Court, it is our job to interpret the Constitution. So I'm not the one taking the freakish position that the court has no business interpreting the Constitution. That's the Southern Baptists. Okay? I'm not the one sitting here advocating that one group of people with a skin color, with one skin color, is better than another group of people with a different skin color. That was the Southern Baptists. Okay? And the list is endless. I'm not the one sitting here spouting off, the papacy is an unbiblical office and the Pope is an unbiblical official. I didn't say that. Some guy from the Southern Baptist Convention said that. God free Daniel, mother of pearl. I don't know what it takes to get through to some people. Again, I don't care what your religion is. It's none of my business. And what my religion is damned well none of yours. But when these religion industries go out preaching things that are inimical to our Republican form of government, I'm not going to just sit here and let it pass because some guy thinks that he's a holy man. I rode this new pope last night like a borrowed mule for the Nazi that he is and for trying to cover up kiddie rape. But I'm going to give the Southern Baptist Convention a pass just because I'm a member of a Southern Baptist church? Uh-uh, sunshine. Doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way at all. Because if you're, there is one thing you will get consistently on this show, and that is intellectual honesty. This show has so much integrity, it has integrity to spare. Because we don't pull punches. When I saw the people of West Virginia being ripped off and having their constitutional rights sold out from under them for a mess of pottage, I said so. And it was a Democrat did it to them. You will get the straight stuff here. That's all. The Joe Friday stuff. Just the facts. And then there's ABC News, which is coming up. So we got to take a break. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Being a character can make you rich. I'm Chris Whitting with The Success Journal. Pete had an odd sense of humor. While dining with a friend, he asked for the salt, but instead called it the schtroumpf, which in his native Dutch means whatchamacallit. The friend laughed. So Pete later sketched a silly character with that very name. His imagination took over. He soon created more of the creatures, which he put in comic strip form. It became an instant hit. Later on, those odd little people appeared in their own animated cartoon show on television. You probably know Pete Colorford's creation. The name comes from the Dutch word schtroumpf. Pete called his blue characters the Smurfs, and no fooling. The comic creations earned him a real fortune. With the Success Journal, I'm Chris Whitting.
Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear.
Introducing the 60 greatest old-time radio shows of the 20th century, selected by Walter Cronkite. 30 hours of classic radio, including Orson Welles' legendary War of the Worlds, The Lone Ranger, and The Shadow, plus comedy greats Jack Benny, Abbott and Costello.
I'm not asking you who's that
who first.
I don't know. Okay.
And more. This digitally remastered cassette compilation comes complete with a 64-page commemorative booklet. Call now to order. You'll get 60 episodes for just $29.95 plus shipping and handling. That's 50% off the regular price. CD also available. As a bonus, you'll also get 2 episodes of The Bob Hope Show free. Old Time Radio is great family entertainment for listeners of all ages and makes a perfect gift. Order now.
Look, bud, I said your money or your life. I'm thinking it over.
For the 60 greatest old time radio shows, call now. 800-458-6400. 800-458-6400.
WWNR Beckley.
Proud of over 50 years of broadcasting history.
You can depend on us.
News Talk 620. WWNR Beckley. It's 9 o'clock.
When you know all about your kid's school, you know all about your kid. Visit www.pta.org to find more than 100 simple ways to know more and do more. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
News Talk 620 WWNR, keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here's your forecast from the Weather Channel. Big upper-level trough sitting over the Great Lakes, and it's far-reaching, so our influence is, for the most part, showery. Perhaps a thunderstorm as well. Overnight low 43 with a bit of a south breeze. Cloudy with a few showers as we look at tomorrow with a Wednesday high of 53. The chance of rain, though, only 30%, and that'll sustain itself through Thursday with a few showers late in the day and a high of 58.
WWNR Beckley.
Here's Bob Kincaid. Head on.
I always wanted to be the guitar player in the 38 Special. The rhythm guy that just sits there and goes chum, 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 and makes as much as everybody else does. Chum, 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 chum. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. You guys are great. You guys are just great. I'm at a loss for something. I say, hey, could you help me? And bang, there it is. Thanks, Gene. Yeah, Marbury versus Madison, 1802, 1803. It's considered in legal circles a real piece of genius on the part of Chief Justice John Marshall. Because, you see, what had happened is in the election of 1800, the Jeffersonians pretty much got control of Congress, and they got control of the presidency. Sound like anything? Nah. But they didn't have the judiciary. So they wanted to pack the judiciary. They wanted to control the judiciary, too, and run those nasty Federalists off. You know, the Federalists, that was your John Adams, Alexander Hamilton. Rich people are always better able to make decisions than poor people. Rich people are always smarter than poor people. You know that bunch. You know who they turned into eventually. Well, it had to do with the creation of some judgeships and federal offices that the commissions for which had not yet been delivered. There's a good bit of rigmarole in there. But what the upshot of it is Justice, Chief Justice John Marshall, you know, over here, Hawksnest State Park, that was originally known as Marshall's Pillars. He came of Isden once upon a time. Anyway, Chief Justice John Marshall said, "Now, see, here's how it is, fellas. We're the court, and we are created under Article 3 of the Constitution of these here United States. And we hereby declare that it's our job to interpret the Constitution. It's the Congress's job to make and pass laws. It's the President's job to execute those laws. It's our job to interpret those laws. See how that works? Three branches of government, three separate jobs. Neat, huh?" And from that day to this, it has been the acknowledged job of the courts to interpret the laws as they are made by the legislative branch. You could say, in point of fact, that Marbury versus Madison is the original piece of judicial, here it comes, it's one of those buzzwords the religion industry freaks have become so fond of, judicial activism. And it was. Because had Chief Justice Marshall not ruled the way he had, the federal judiciary would have been trumped and would have been little more than a joke. So that is the stage as it is set now for this unmitigated, bald-faced attack by a bunch of butt-ignorant religion industry fascists on the very framework of our republic, our res publica, our public thing. And that is what James Dobson attacked with his fangs bared and dripping blood and his ugly little claws extended. You ever seen Nosferatu? The great German vampire movie with the really creepy looking vampire, you know, with the fangs out and the claws. That's James Dobson with the wig and the makeup off. This sick freak that advocates beating on children and calls himself a pediatric psychologist. Jeez. Brother, spare that 2x4 and spoil that child. Whomp him good! Okay? And so, you know, Sunday it was all babbled out on what was the phrase? Activist judges are interpreting our laws. Activist judges, and they must be stopped. What a freak! I mean, we're talking about a real stick to your day job, doc. He likes for people to call him doctor. Ooh, doctor, it hates when I do this. Yeah, well, don't do that. They're interpreting the Constitution. Those nasty, nasty judges are interpreting the Constitution, and we need some judges out there that won't be interpreting the Constitution like judges have been doing for over 200 years. Great googly moogly. And then there was this little gem. If we were a little more high-tech here, I'd actually play you the soundbite of this sad, sick freak saying this. This is from Justice Sunday night. This is what Mud Dauber Dobson said. And in 1973, the Roe versus Wade decision, the Supreme Court labored forth and came to us with the abortion decision that all abortion is protected by the Constitution. And that has now resulted in 44 million deaths, the biggest Holocaust in world history that came out of the Supreme Court. I will attempt, I've said this time and again, stand by it. I will attempt to debate in reasonable fashion all comers. Now, it's kind of nice if when I pin you to the mat, you have the common decency to say uncle. Or maybe you're going to try to slither away and change the subject. But with people like Mud Dauber Dobson, you can't have a debate because they start the debate with a damned lie. Shame on him calling himself a man of God and lying like he does. The biggest Holocaust in world history that came out of the Supreme Court. Shoo, Wilbur. Now, do you understand? Now, I've mentioned on a number of occasions, and if you've bothered reading around, you know it to be true. These are the same freaks that are waiting for the tribulations to come so that they can put Jews to the sword. And make the Jews' blood run as high as the fetlocks of the horses, or whatever the book says. Okay? That's these guys. They've got it on their minds. They're looking forward to it. They want it. They want Jesus to come back in this generation because they want to be the ones who finally get to kill the Jews. Sick. Sick. Misanthropic miscreants. Do you hear the code in that quote? I'll read it without the accent and the draymaw. And in 1973, the Roe versus Wade decision, the Supreme Court labored forth and came to us with the abortion decision that all abortion is protected by the Constitution. And that has now resulted in 44 million deaths, the biggest Holocaust in world history that came out of the Supreme Court. One by one. Labored forth? Labored forth? Sallied forth? Labored forth? Well, whatever. With the abortion decision that all abortion is protected by the Constitution. Wrong. First lie. When you find a man is lying, what does that do with the rest of his credibility? He starts out with a premise that is an abject lie. Roe versus Wade does not say that all abortion is legal. It doesn't say that even a little bit. And that has now resulted in 44 million deaths. Why 44 million? Why not 88 million? Why not 128 million? Why not include the women who have miscarriages? Little sort of bloody clots of tissue that pass, and, you know, these things happen. It's part of biology and humanity and, you know. Pick a number. 44 million? Okay. 22 million. 78 million. Liar. He's just a liar. And then the code. The code. We've talked about right-wing religion industry code. He uses the word. There it is. Use the little highlighter on it, Bob. Holocaust. Holocaust. The Holocaust was the wholesale slaughter of born, living, breathing Jews by the Nazis. 6 million of them killed. Not 6 million little clumps of tissue, not 6 million blastocysts or embryos. 6 million living, breathing, walking, talking, crying, grieving, laughing, singing people. But here's James Dobson sending his filthy code to his filthy right-wing religion industry co-conspirators that the real Holocaust of real human beings wasn't as important as choices made by real, living, real women about their bodies. This is the code. Little embryos are better, little Christian embryos are better than Jews. This is how these sick, sick, malicious, hateful, theocratic, Taliban religion industrialists operate and think and believe. Now, you want to get mad at me for calling them on it? That's fine. But just
as I said last night, with regard to this business of Cardinal Ratt saying it was more important to hide priestly rape than it was to see justice done, if you continue to associate yourself with that, you are guilty by association. It is, in fact, a sin of omission, I suppose you would say. 44 million abortions. God only knows how many other million miscarriages, because, you see, they don't count the miscarriages, even though they're abortions, too. Check the scientific literature. They're called spontaneous abortions. But they don't want to count them. 44 million abortions. A holocaust, brethren and sistren! Send me another check, would you? We need more money. And they and this freak is endorsed by the various and sundry cults and sects of the right-wing American religion industry. But of course, you want to castigate the messenger for merely bringing you the facts. He stood there, and I don't know how many people picked it up out of this little quote. This religion industry code for spitting on the Jews. I picked it up. I understand the code. I was steeped in it. I grew up with it. I've dealt with it. How many black churches are there in the Southern Baptist Convention? Just wondering. 2? 10? 12? 100? 150? Don't know. I know when the Civil Rights Act was being put through that there were zero, and they damn sure wanted to keep it that way. I know that the Southern Baptist Church that I grew up going to was Lily White, baby, Lily White. And in 1973, the Roe versus Wade decision, the Supreme Court labored forth, trying to sound biblical and all, you know, labored forth and came to us with the abortion decision that all abortion is protected by the Constitution, and that has now resulted in 44 million deaths. No, because you see, Doofus Dobson doesn't have the numbers for the abortions that were performed before Roe versus Wade. Or, in fact, all down through history when women made that choice about their body and just didn't clue some guy in on it. The biggest Holocaust in world history. You know, there are, and I'm not going to tell you that, I know the names of several of them. There are a lot of neo-Nazi and skinhead and Aryan Nations and that crowd websites out there. You can go to them and they will tell you straight up that there is no such thing as the Holocaust, that the Holocaust never happened, that the Jews were not rounded up and shoved into boxcars and wedged in there and taken by train to Bergen-Belsen and Dachau and Treblinka and Auschwitz. And on and on and on, and that they were not exterminated, and that there were not piles of bodies that Eisenhower himself walked by, that it was all a myth of the international Jewish conspiracy. And you read that, and you shake your heads, and tears well up in your eyes, that there is that kind of hate in this great nation. And then James Dobson, standing in a Southern Baptist church on Sunday evening, the 24th day of April, 2005, jumps right in bed with them. There's no Holocaust. The real Holocaust is abortion. Never mind the 6 million dead Jews. Never mind them. They're going to hell anyway because they don't believe in Jesus like we say. You gotta believe in Jesus. Don't take my word for it. This is how they are. Hateful and bloodthirsty and just itching for the tribulation so they can start slaughtering Jews. I'm not making it up. Verify it for yourself. You know, pin your preacher down. When Jesus finally comes back, do we get to kill the Jews if they don't believe in Jesus? Mm-hmm, they sure do. They'll tell you to your face. They'll look you square in the eye and say, if the Jew doesn't confess Christ, skewer him. They'll tell you that. And that's what God wants us to do, brother.
And at that point, just like agreeing with Cardinal Rat about hiding priestly rape, at that point, if you stay signed on with that doctrine, it's your soul and not mine. Because, again, as I've said 1,001 times before, how you believe, none of my business. And, frankly, very little of my interest. But you see, these aren't commentaries. You might be surprised. These are not commentaries on religion. This is a commentary on the body politic of our nation. This is a commentary on the very prospect for continued existence of this noble little experiment that we call the United States of America. My God. You know, look, I've told you about the Stumplicker Bunch in the past and what they're like and how mean and rotten they are. These right-wing Republicans who understand force and they understand violence and they understand getting in your face because that's how they're going to do it. Look at this Justice Sunday. It is a full-scale attack on our constitutional form of government. And what has Senator Joe Biden, with all his presidential ambitions, had to say? Well, maybe if they won't use the nuclear option, the Republicans, then maybe we'll let a couple of their nominees slip through, like Janice Rogers Brown. Janice Rogers Brown, who, where is it? Gave a little talk on Sunday. In Darien, Connecticut, Janice Rogers Brown did. She's one of the freaks that they're so desperate to get on the U.S. District Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit. She says, "There seems to have been no time since the Civil War that this country was so bitterly divided. It's not a shooting war, but it is a war." Okay? She says it's a war. She called it a war. Now, these are perilous times for people of faith. Not in the sense that we are going to lose our lives, because, see, my side's the kumbaya bunch. We're not going to kill anybody. But in the sense that it will cost you something if you are a person of faith who stands up for what you believe in and say those things out loud. And she went on and on talking about how America was founded by really religious people and how Thomas Jefferson, this myth made out of whole cloth that these enlightened men who framed our government and were not religious people, that they've somehow been recreated as a bunch of right-wing religion industry freaks just like these people. And she says, this nation was founded by deeply religious people on religious principles. Hey, Judge Brown, newsflash, those deeply religious people that founded this country owned your ancestors and used the Bible to justify owning them. Want to rethink that position there, Judge Jan? My God. These are perilous times for people of faith. No, they're not. It makes it sound like there's a sniper on every rooftop waiting for the congregation to let out at noon on Sunday. No, that's their side. They're the ones that blow things and people up, not my side. Check it out. It's a week now since the Eric Rudolph plea. How many denunciations of Eric Rudolph have you heard about coming from the right-wing religion industry pulpits? How many Southern Baptist churches have denounced the bombings of Eric Rudolph? How many Pentecostals? How many denunciations have you heard coming from Kennedy's the Coral Snake Ministries in Florida? How many denunciations of Eric Rudolph have you heard coming from that fat, filthy, jowly Jerry Falwell? How many times has Dobson denounced Eric Rudolph? How many times has Pat Robertson denounced Eric Rudolph? None, sunshine! None! Not once! Never! No how! Why not? because those people approve of what he did. They approve. And when you stand with them, you approve too. It's called group responsibility. And that filters down into personal responsibility. Check back. If you've done it under the least of these, you've done it also unto me. There's a lot of group responsibility and personal responsibility and cultural responsibility, spiritual responsibility, physical responsibility. It's all rolled up in one tiny little ball there. These are perilous times for people of faith. Bite me, Judge Jan. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
The latest from News Talk 620. I'm Carl Mack reporting. West Virginia set to receive nearly $6 million in federal funding for fish and wildlife conservation and hunting and fishing education programs. The funding comes from taxes paid by recreational shooters, fishermen, and boaters. It's distributed to the states through the Federal Assistance in Sport Fish and Wildlife Restoration Programs. Testing for the 56th career class at the West Virginia State Police will start in June. As part of its recruiting efforts, the department will conduct career nights at detachments across the state from now till May 14th. Lieutenant Walter Stroop with the State Police Academy says they want to put the department in a different light and make the job attractive for more people. Governor Manchin says he's told everyone who would listen that he would be a hands-on governor, and he says his first 100 days in office prove exactly that. That 100th day is today, and Manchin says he's made good on his promise to voters that he would run the state like a business. Representatives of law enforcement agencies and other groups across the state in Charleston this week to develop strategies to combat a growing methamphetamine problem. About 300 people were expected to attend the three-day summit called West Virginia Together, Building Meth-Free Communities. And the president of a Parkersburg-based financial holding company will spend almost 3 years in prison for failing to pay more than $300,000 in payroll taxes to the federal government. Bernard H. Linney was sentenced today in U.S. District Court to 33 months prison, followed by 3 years of supervised service. Now the forecast for the rest of this evening: cloudy with showers, possible thunderstorms later tonight with a low near 40, and then for Wednesday, partly cloudy, a chance of morning showers, a little bit cooler tomorrow, Wednesday's temperatures in the mid-50s. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
Where there's a tornado.
Where there's a forest fire.
Where Mother Nature is at her worst.
Where there's a search.
Where there's a rescue.
Where there are Americans in need.
Where there.
When disaster strikes.
Where one volunteer force.
Helping each other and simply doing what needs to be done.
We are the Civil Air Patrol.
The official auxiliary of the U.S. Air Force.
To join, call 1-800-FLY-2338.
Or log on to the World Wide Web at www.cap.gov.
From a farm to a fortune. I'm Chris Whitting with The Success Journal. Robert grew up in a small Ohio town. His dad was a farmer, and he ran a store selling fresh food. Robert sometimes worked there. Years later, he studied to be a veterinarian, but caring for critters wasn't for him. Selling food was what he loved best. So, Robert and his wife opened a tiny truck stop. Fresh food was sometimes hard to come by, so he did what seemed natural. He began selling breakfast sausage from his family farm. Customers loved it. Soon he was selling sausage throughout the state, then nationwide. Next came a chain of restaurants. Today, Bob's business is sizzling. His full name? Bob Evans. The family still runs things. Sales are $1 billion a year. With the Success Journal, I'm Chris Whitting.
Don't let
let the recent news about your arthritis medicine stop you from treating your arthritis pain. Talk to your doctor. No pain reliever has been proven safer than Tylenol when used as directed. That's one reason why arthritis experts recommend the medicine in Tylenol Arthritis Pain as a first choice. For all-day relief without a prescription, ask your doctor about Tylenol Arthritis Pain. Stop. Think. Tylenol.
Tylenol Arthritis Pain lasts up to 8 hours. Use only as directed.
Public payphones, coughing boys.
You can't touch this.
Cooper Scooper schoolroom toys.
You can't touch this.
It's a germy world out there, but sometimes you just gotta touch, even though germs can cause illness. So when there's no soap and water, reach for Purell. In just seconds, Purell kills 99.99% of germs that hands may come into contact with. Roadside rest stops, grimy handrails, elevator buttons, busy stairwells.
You can't touch this.
You can touch. Then Purell. Uses directed.
WWNR Beckley.
He's got the heart of a conservative. Pickled on a jar on his desk. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 23 and a half minutes before 10 o'clock. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On. You know, I try to tell you, this is a deadly bunch we're dealing with. You know, and my party wants to cut a deal. Please don't use the nuclear option and take away our filibuster. Please don't do that, Mr. Frist. Please be, we'll give you a bunch of fascist judges, please. And you know what Bill Frist came out and said today? You know what the cat killer came out and said? No deal. We're going to kick you. And when we're done kicking you, we're going to kick you some more, Democrats. And when we're done kicking you some more, we're going to stomp on your hands a little bit and crush your knuckles. And then we'll put boards between your ankles and hit them with sledgehammers while you're laying there writhing on the ground. And by God, after we've done that to you for a little while, we'll teach you to like it, because we're the stump licker bunch. And it's what we do. Get all hepped up on that stump liquor from out in the middle of the woods and go find us somebody to stomp. Yeah. And my side responded, please, please don't hurt us. We'll be really nice. We'll tell people you're our friend. We don't care. Stick your hand out. We want to crush it. That is who they're dealing with, and they still don't understand. Bunch of half crazed, hopped up southern rednecks that it is soon punch them in the face as look them in the eye. And we haven't got a clue. They don't fight fair. They're never going to fight fair. This Family Research Council that sponsored Justice Sunday, I promised I wouldn't sing anymore. But there's a Bono parody in there somewhere. Sunday, Justice Sunday. Ugh. No, guess what? They are, as usual, looky hypocrites. Keith Olbermann at Countdown uncovered this one. Hey, you remember the flip-flop from the presidential campaign? You remember the flip-flop? Oh, that John Kerry, he's a flip-flopper. Yeah, the Republican National Committee told me he's a flip-flopper, and I'll believe anything I'm told because I'm gullible as dirt, and I'll believe anything the Republicans say. He's a flip-flopper. Guess what? Turns out that the Family Research Council, 7 years ago, Bill Clinton had a Democratic plurality in the Senate, and he nominated a man named James Hormel to be the ambassador to Luxembourg. Now, Hormel wasn't just some schmuck that he found hovering over a grater somewhere in downtown D.C. Great, not greater. No, he was the scion of the Hormel meatpacking dynasty, but he nominated him to be ambassador to Luxembourg, and then it came out that James Hormel, nominee to be ambassador to Luxembourg, because that is such a high-profile ambassadorship. Not gooning on the Luxembourgers, mind you. Well, the little minority Republicans in the Senate bottled up Hormel's nomination with filibusters and threats of filibusters. And they did it for a year and a half. And the Family Research Council senior writer, a freak named Stephen Schwalm, even went on National Public Radio to explain the value of the filibuster. Here's what he said. The Senate is not a majoritarian institution like the House of Representatives is. It is a deliberative body, and it's got a number of checks and balances built into our government. The filibuster is one of those checks in which a majority cannot just sheerly force its will, even if they have a majority of votes in some cases. That's why there are things like filibusters and other things that give minorities in the Senate some power to slow things up, to hold things up, and let things be aired properly. Time and time and time and time and time and time and time again, I tell you what a bunch of dirty, rotten, filthy, lying, stinking, did I mention dirty, rotten, filthy, lying, and stinking hypocrites these godless religion industry thugs are. And the only thing some of you come away with is, there goes Bob beating on religion again. No. No. Don't care what they believe. Don't give a tinker's damn what they believe. But they're messing around in politics, and it's an ugly, bloody business. What's the old saying? There are two things you just don't want to see made, and that's laws and sausage. They're messing in politics, and they want to sit there and talk about having judges killed. But if I come out and criticize their freakish religious ways, vis-a-vis relative to the American body politic, then I'm being mean to religion. Hey, look at my haircut, Andy. It's all slickety in the back. Wow. That's just pitiful. 7 years ago, a filibuster was a thing that gives a minority in the Senate some power to slow things up, to hold things up, to let things be aired properly. And that, according to the very Family Research Council that fronted Sunday Justice Sunday 2 days ago. And now they want to take the filibuster away. You can't have a debate with these people because everything they do is founded in a lie. And see, they're not reality-based like we are. No, sir. They're not reality-based at all. They, you know, you remember that. You reality-based people. We're the reality-based people. They knew they said this 7 years ago. But if you call them on it, what are they going to say? Didn't say that. Yes, you did. I got it right here. Didn't say it. Yes, you did. Did not. Did too. Did not. You said it. No, I didn't. I love Jesus. And a whole bunch of America will go, that's right, he loves Jesus, therefore he didn't say it. Here are the words! I don't believe I said that. I didn't ask you what you believe! I don't think I said. You're not thinking! The Senate is not a majoritarian institution like the House of Representatives is. It is a deliberative body, and it's got a number of checks and balances built into our government. The filibuster is one of those checks in which a majority cannot just sheerly, listen carefully, cannot just sheerly force its will, even if they have a majority of votes in some cases. Well, that was because the fellow that was nominated was a faggot. God would have wanted us to filibuster a faggot. But these are good godly judges that God wants on the bench. He's told us so. How do I know he's told you? You got to trust us. You got to believe. I'm sorry. Dirty, rotten, stinking, filthy, godless, fascist hypocrites. I mean, go to Media Matters for America. Olbermann uncovers Family Research Council filibuster flip-flop. Go there.
read the words. Track the words back until you're happy to know that you have finally identified the truth of the matter. But then, you know, if you're inclined in the direction of the non-reality crowd, the faith-based crowd, well, it's not what he meant. Because them faggots have to be stopped from being ambassador to Luxembourg, and that's what the filibuster's for. Pigs. You know, there's that miracle in the New Testament where the demons are driven out of the person and into the swine. I think somewhere along the way, the swine transferred the demons to, and 2,000 years later, those swine demons are camped out at the Family Research Council. You can't debate with a liar, and that's what those people are. Go to the phones. Chris has been waiting. Hey, Chris, you head on. Thanks for waiting, Chris.
It's hypocrisy on the hoof.
Yeah.
But I have an update for you. I just received word from Robert Novak, a personal phone call.
Yeah.
Now when you go to the Vatican, you want to go and visit the Vatican, visit St. Chapel, all that good stuff, you either have to wear a J, a P, or, you know, for Buddhist or whatever on your outfit.
Oh, really?
Because we don't want you getting mixed up with the pure area. I mean, Catholic race.
Yeah.
And I wonder, you know, when you grip your prayer beads and you still say Hail Mary, is it Sieg Heil? Or
Sieg Heil, full of grace. Yeah.
Sieg Heil, full of grace.
No, oh, I know. I know.
Yeah, it's really weird. Do you think Judge Jan would support female guards in her courtroom?
I'm guessing no.
Probably not. It's just those things that pop in your head and you go, gee, I just wonder.
Yeah, and see, this woman's being touted because she's not a judicial activist. Trust me, when you're trying to rewrite the entire history of the United States to make this a nation that was founded on religious principles, you're a judicial activist.
But there is something good that came out of the news in the last couple of days.
What's that?
It's good. It's a good thing for the gays and lesbians of this country.
Oh, really? A little step forward?
Yeah, a little step forward. As some of you might have noticed on television, that our president at his coming out, it was rather sweet, you know. He hugged and kissed a man in a dress
on
both cheeks.
On national TV.
On national TV, he took the hand of the man in the dress.
Oh, wasn't that sweet?
And it was. It was so sweet.
When they were walking up.
And they walked through this garden, and the cameras were sure to catch the pretty purple flowers. Purple.
Tinky Winky. Tinky Winky's purple.
So, you know, I'm guessing that gay marriage is right around the corner now.
Well, because
Georgia's going to have to get a divorce tomorrow first.
I wonder if he's got one of the, well, I forget what it's called, one of those special marriages where he has to go through a lot of counseling first with Mike Huckabee or something.
Well, I noticed Elton John is going to get married to his mate, so maybe they're looking for a double wedding. You know, in the Saudi Arabian capital. Maybe invite, I don't know, Bin Laden, one of their state-supported terrorists over there.
Yeah.
He could be the bridesmaid.
Well, who's going to, that's the question. I mean,
he wears a dress, too.
Well, I mean, but that's the question. The sultan or the prince or the 32nd noble exalted pish-posh or whatever he was, he was in the dress.
Yeah. He got some nice little chin whiskers. He won't go there.
Don't go there. I remember doing a play many, many years ago called Lone Star, where the main character, Roy, recounts this wild night that he and a buddy had on the strip in Bossier City, Louisiana. And at the end of the monologue, he says, and by the end of the night, Wayne Wilder had kissed a man in a dress.
Who? Yeah, and then he ran for president. Sam Shepard was...
Oh, God.
I saw a close up of that picture of George, and maybe it was just the angle, but it looked like he was getting perilously close to kissing Prince Bandar full on the mouth.
It looked to me like an open mouth kiss.
Now just stop right there. It's family radio. Don't go any further, Chris.
Well, you know he can. I'm sure he can get the Secret Service to go get him some mouthwash.
Well, you know, but then again, you know, it's not like we weren't warned, Chris. He told us in November he was going to have him a man date.
A man date. Now he needs to get Dick Cheney a man bra. Bro.
Oh, God, I remember that Seinfeld episode.
Oh, yeah.
It's the man's ear. No, it's the bro.
Oh, the bro. Now, I mean...
I tell you, I got to interrupt for a minute, Chris. One of my favorite Dick Cheney things is the running counter on WD40.com. Picture of Dick Cheney. It's been X, you know, the changes every day. You know, this many days since Dick Cheney's last heart attack. Please send bacon.
You know, his daughter must have loved that kiss.
Oh, Mary? Yeah.
Yeah. And I can just see, you know, her mom. But, boy, that's going to be in a good book right now. She's going to do an all-lesbian version of The Manchurian Candidate, I'm sure.
I thought that's what Sisters was in the first place.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But DeLay, you know, who basically, oh, I don't know, wants to kill judges. And Judge Jan is going, no, I'm conservative. What? You said what?
Yeah.
Okay.
But, you know, the idea that this black woman is out there advocating a revision of history in which good, godly, church-going, slave-owning men founded this country... I mean,
oh, yeah.
You know, I have a highly, highly developed sensitivity to irony. And when I read that story, Chris, it just ran right out and jumped all over me and stomped on my head.
Well, I live in the South, as you know, and, you know, they said the war was fought over slavery. But
you're right.
It's still a touchy subject.
Well, sure it is.
Especially the way the conservatives have been treating black people for, I don't know, since 1980, let's just say.
Yeah.
It's a touchy subject here, white and black. Of course, you know, everybody always says, well, we've learned from our mistakes. We're not that kind of a country. Yes, we are.
Yes, of course we are.
Of course we are.
I mean, you know, we're racist to the core. And the difference is there are some who will acknowledge it, and there are some who run from it.
Let's just say, you know, everybody was talking about bin Laden and his terrorist organization taking religion, making it mean what they wanted it to mean, and going forth and doing that. Gee, doesn't that sound like the conservatives of this country?
It sounds exactly. Listen, they could sit down and have tea. Bin Laden and Falwell, or Bin Laden and Dobson, could sit down and have tea and find that they had more things on which they agreed than on which they disagreed.
And what kills me is how many people say, oh, we had this liberal media. We do have a liberal media. But compared to the conservative media, it's about, what, 90-10?
So 99.9 and 0.1, Chris.
So as long as the conservative media, you know, like you said, I didn't say that. Yes, you do. We have it on tape. Well, and what does the conservative media do? Well, you know, next story.
Yeah, where's the liberal media been in explaining the fact that, no, the filibusters weren't not exactly used on Clinton's judicial nominees?
Yeah.
They just weren't even allowed a committee hearing.
Well, that's why bloggers are the only media that is looking out for our best interest. Even the liberal media, the so-called liberal papers and stuff, they still have a board of directors they have to report to.
Right.
And the majority of the board of directors on anything in this country are conservative.
Yeah, look up, let's see, the last name is P-A-E-Z. Look up his attempts to be confirmed to the federal judiciary during the Clinton administration. Didn't happen.
VelvetRevolution.us.
Yeah.
A sincere, very sincere individual trying to, I mean, put a lot on the line to help fight for what we need.
Yeah.
But, you know, without a board of directors to report to, without this, without that, you know, no, they're not real media. No, the real media just every once in a while gets the stories that people like him come up with and reported themselves.
Well, you know, the same crowd that says bloggers aren't real media were the ones who were saying that Thomas Paine wasn't a real journalist and therefore, you know, didn't have any business in the revolution. Hey, Chris, we got to roll, man. Thanks so much for everything.
Absolutely, Bob. Take care.
Take it easy. The show tonight, of course, was produced by the inimitable John Kepi, engineered by Randy Kerbway, announced at least in part by Brian Reznor, and brought to you as ever by the 20,000 workers of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, they're working for you. Also brought to you by our very good friends at the West Virginia Pipe Trades. The show is archived every night by Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org. Go there. Enjoy yourself. You might even learn something if you're not careful, if you're a right winger. Hey, Agnes.
Thank you.